Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Our favorite campers return with a little bit of international flair, and we learn the true meaning of cool. Tonight on the Season 3, Episodes 2 and 3, reaction and review of Rooster Teeth's Camp Camp, which starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Good evening, campers. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Camp Camp After Show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about episodes 2 and 3, Arid Gets Her Cool Back, and Foreign Exchange Campers. I'm joined by my fellow counselors, Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys.
And Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
And I'm a car. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV After Show. Stacey Shuttleworth is not with us tonight. She's currently in Scotland. Make sure to tweet her, let her know that you miss her. At Stacey Shuttles is her Twitter. We're going to be having some fun. That's why we're talking about it. That's why we got Andrew WK. I thought Y Games. I thought Dangerous. I thought Jackass the Movie. And this is the theme for it. I've been in an Andrew WK mood since the Rage 2 announcement. but welcome in, everybody. As you know, I forgot the video had Johnny Knoxville speaking really quickly. Anyway, before we get to this week's episodes, we're going to talk about our camp activity last week, which we did get a couple of campers to enter some things. But the first thing we're going to show, Steve, is that image that you have up right now. Malachroma in chat sent us an updated version of their camper. We've got Mallory. Oh, we got a. It's coming. Name, Mallory. Age, dat 30-year-old. It's a conspiracy. Nerf is 30 years old. I'm going to be pushing this till the day I die. Gender? Small. And she's changed. They've changed to gaming camp. Which,
nice.
There's a whole description there. Skyrim mods have allowed him to go to the moon. The moon! And I'm a big fan of it. Thank you, Malachroma, for updating your camper. If anybody else wants to update their camper, let us know. But one of our other activities was, and you can show the next picture, is from S Chessboard on Twitter. Some of the other hands that the quartermaster has. We've got the mascot Pez dispenser, an Atlas relic, a hook hand with googly eyes, which I thought was a minion.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
It probably is.
That's the joke.
And Cinder Puppet, which has terrifying implications.
And yet it's my favorite. Oh my god!
Katie, what's your favorite?
I'm particularly fond of hook hand with googly eyes, like. Yeah. Oh my god. I don't know how I missed this in the hashtag, but this is my first time seeing it, and I just keep going back to that one. Like,
yeah. The Atlas relic looks like it shoots lasers, and I'm all about that.
Probably.
Honestly, it looked like a keyblade. I had this moment of what?
Oh!
I liked the mascot Pez dispenser, because it's one of those ones that is so useless that, yeah, he'd probably use it. So one of the other camp activity that we had is how you and your camp or your camp would support the what they would do to contribute to the quartermaster's fundraiser. And before we have one from English camp from Miss K Rose. But before we do that, we have a video here from @CamComedia when it comes to Wild West Camp. Let's take a look.
Oh, boy.
Rumor has it that Camp Campbell is raising money to buy the quartermaster a new hook. Well, that's a mighty fine cause. And me and the other fellas at West Camp, we want to contribute. So, we reckon we'll play a few hands of poker, see what sort of winnings we can rustle up, and donate to the cause.
See, it's great, right?
I love it.
That don't work. We could always rob a bank.
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. No, Cam, wait. And all of a sudden, it turned to shit. Okay, well, thank you, Cam.
No, I mean, that's more our speed.
That's where Nikki's mind immediately went. We should rob a bank.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you, Cam. And our friends at West Camp for submitting that. I didn't know they had video cameras in the Old West, but it's sepia, so I consider that true. And how they converted it to digital. But
these violent delights have violent ends. Cam!
Real Miss K. Rose. As a member of Writing Camp, the obvious way to help raise money is to publish a book of my work and sell it, because who wouldn't like to read writing from 10-year-olds?
There's another member of Writing Camp. I was going to say commission fiction. Have you ever wanted to sail the high seas with Captain Jack Sparrow, or enter the grid with Tron and do a better job at it than Flynn ever did? Or, you know, do you just want to make two characters kiss even though they're not in the same universe or dimension? We can do that for you. We've also partnered with Artist Camp to pair it with illustration.
Safe search on.
Kiss, crayons.
But yeah, no, absolutely kiss in visual and literary form.
Did you have something, Megan?
I did. Some of you may remember that little Megan was at Mystery Camp. So what I would have done to raise money would be to basically get the whole town in on a scavenger hunt. People could do teams or individuals for a grand total prize of $10,000. And you, of course, have to submit money in order to enter the chance to win. And what I have here is the final clue. If you would want to read it, or I can read it.
It's up to you. It's your gimmick.
Basically, this is what you would find when you get to the end of the scavenger hunt. As you have no doubt deduced, the real prize of the scavenger hunt is not the $10,000 that was promised to you. Rather, the real prize is the self-satisfaction you've received from solving my intricately planned puzzles. And, of course, the friendships you made along the way. As an additional note, by the time you read this, I will have fled with the money I received from your entry fees. Unlike the hints of the scavenger hunt, there will be no trace of where I have gone. So don't bother trying to solve that mystery. Thanks for the memories and the cash. Your friend, Detective Salinas.
How Cameron Campbell of you. Dear God.
I learned it from watching you!
Yeah, I got nothing. I was away all weekend. I literally rewatched the entire series this weekend.
What line were you looking for?
I could have sworn Cam said something about Kentucky, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's get started. If you want to take part in these camp activities, we're going to have two new ones at the end of the show, so stay tuned. We use hashtag ABTVCampCamp and hashtag RTReviews, and go ahead and check out some of the old ones from the past couple of shows. It's pretty great, and I love this. Anyway, let's talk about Erin Gets Her Cool Back.
I love this episode so much. I'm wearing my dice tonight, you guys. You can't really see them all that well, but I'm wearing my dice tonight.
It doesn't take a perceptioning check to know that this episode was really great.
Boo. But, okay, so great, good. I thought it was one of the... They're on a roll.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No offense to last season, because I love every single episode of Camp Camp, but I thought following episode one up with the musical number and everything and going to Neil and the AI was a little weak. I still like the episode.
It's hard to follow a musical.
Exactly.
It really especially is. It's hard to follow Cult Camp just in general. I still say that's one of the best episodes of the series, full stop.
Agreed. But with this, we have... the first sort of going back on what makes or deep dive into what makes a camper a camper. And everybody's waiting for something exciting to happen. And I wanted to ask everybody, because these were so specific, Neil pegging a Scooby-Doo murder mystery, a love quadrangle, and an accidental wiretap confession. Does anybody consider that a preview of stuff that may be coming?
Oh, yeah. Either they're all going to happen by the end of the season, or, and this is my prediction, they're all going to happen in the season finale.
Wow. That's oddly specific.
All right. I mean, as long as we're being oddly specific, I live here.
Now, I could also see the show as blatantly avoiding those things, you know, to invert the expectation of like, oh, this is what we're getting. This is the preview of what's to come. So I could definitely see the show like going out of its way to not do any of those things. That being said, if we get our Scooby-Doo mystery, I will be happy. We already went to Spooky Island.
But so. Scooby-Doo murder mystery can be about letting Jasper rest. Maybe.
Or, and I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you meddling kids and that platypus.
Oh my god. I'm not Bradley Baker or I'd make the Perry noise right now.
Terrifying. Yeah, good luck. Yeah, good luck doing that.
Like I said, I'm not D. Bradley Baker. I'm not going to try.
We got a bit of a reference to Second Aid and the jerry-rigging camps and Arid sort of losing her cool, leaves open this cool vacuum. And as a result, all of the kids go off to become the coolest version of themselves that they can with horrifying, horrifying results. I'll go back to our main storyline in a second, but let's talk about these quote cool kids. We have Preston as the Phantom of the Opera.
Yes!
Every theater kid goes through that stage.
Some never leave.
Nope. Some never leave. And a visual gag that I didn't notice until like the third time I watched the episode because he never spoke. Dolph as Chairman Mao.
What?
Did you not notice that?
No! I missed that completely.
I keep getting sidetracked by everyone else, honestly.
Yeah, he was Chairman Mao.
I guess he just didn't call attention to himself. So no, he didn't. Missed it.
They showed him twice. He had no spoken lines. Everybody else had a moment to, like, show their stuff, except it was just Dolph as Chairman Mao.
Wow.
I honestly feel like this is one of those things where, and I think we touch on it a little bit in the next episode, like, given the climate that these episodes are being released into, it's one thing to have a character like Dolph, and it's another thing to blatantly go, like, I don't think we're going to get another They're in the Attic with the Juice episode anytime soon, because real life is real uncomfortable right now.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
You also can't drop the character's running gag. Mm. So this is the thing he did, but we're not drawing attention to it, I think is a good balance for that.
And something that I've noticed in rewatching the series is that the only people that see Dolph like that are everybody else and not his family. Like, his dad, there's no joke there. That's my boy.
Yeah.
And
why did we have to raise him in Europe? He likes soccer.
Yeah, like it's kind of unfortunate that all of this stuff is thrusted upon him as a gag, but at the same time, he kind of looks like Hitler.
Like in the words of Cameron Campbell, it's like, this is painting a picture. This is all coming together a little bit when we meet his dad.
Yeah.
Renji 90998 with Preston, I was singing "This Is the Greatest Show." Close.
With Harrison?
No. With Preston.
Preston was dressed as the Phantom of the Opera, though.
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway, okay. we got Neil as Diamond, Patrick Harris, and DeGrasse Tyson in a terrible combination of the three of them.
I kind of loved it, and I sincerely hope someone cosplays it at RTX.
Oh, I think without a shadow of a doubt. I think we'll also get Businessman Nerf.
Oh, yeah.
Who's going through a midlife crisis, clearly 30 years old. I'm not dropping it.
He's been stock marketing all morning.
Yeah, he's already had several 3 o'clocks.
I love that he's like the coolest you could possibly be.
He's a
functioning adult with a financial cushion, which is presumably the opposite of everything his mom is.
Mm-hmm. He was going to stab his dad, whatever.
The coolest thing to him is being financially and socially stable.
Like Katie said about current events. Harrison bringing animal magic into his act, which, danger.
Really danger.
We never saw what happened to the tiger. As far as we know, the tiger's just there.
The platypus ate it.
Oh, fair. Piece by piece, head last. And Nikki was like Arid 2.0. Or that was Ick.
Which is so... so cool, because I had kind of forgotten how much Nikki as a character just absolutely adores Arid.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing her being the most emotionally affected when Arid is no longer cool, and then again her idea of being cool is dressing exactly like Arid to try to fill that void. I'm wondering He's like, again, knowing how kind of inattentive her mom is, if maybe there were high school kids that, like, Arid reminds her of at home or something like that. But it's just, it's so cute to see her just emulating the somebody she thinks the world of.
Yeah. Give it to me straight. Like, she thought she was dying. Like, without the coolness, she's dead.
I only just realized that Space Kid being a car is probably a reference to Elon Musk. Putting a car in space.
Blasting David Bowie.
Yep. That literally just hit me, looking at the thumbnail and going, oh.
Oh, I get it.
Harrison is a wielder of the Reality Stone.
Terrifying.
Thanks, Renji.
That was a snap for our audio listeners. All right, now let's go back to our main storyline. We've got Arid trying to prove that she's cool to everybody, and Arid just likes a good quest every now and again. And so they end up going to the Y Games set that Cam Campbell, again, he's not here, but he's here with us with some Cave Johnson-esque voiceovers talking to Ted.
I don't want your Travis damn Willingham.
Travis Willingham screaming into the distance.
So good. I wonder how much drunk Travis or drunk Cam there is.
I really want, like, the blooper reel for this. I wonder if there is a blooper reel or if they were just like, well, here's the lines, but if you want to just kind of go for it, you can just go for it, because I wouldn't put it past him.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think Cameron Campbell left any other audio logs so that Travis can have vocal cameos until he inevitably comes back for revenge?
Accidental wiretap confession.
We're going to talk about that if we have time by the time we get to the end of the episode. But one of the things as they're traversing that I wanted to bring up for no other reason, hi everybody, is that I love walk cycles so much. It's one of my favorite things about animation is when people do a walk cycle well, you notice how inherently the character stays themselves without saying a damn word. And specifically with Neris, I love how her walk cycle sort of evolved from season two to here. And again, sounding like a crazy person, rewatching the entire series over the course of a weekend, it was just beautiful. And I love the animation. Congrats to the Camp team. Nailed it. all of the little touches that y'all put on, the hair blowing in the wind when they were up on the air on the giant ramp, also very, 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 very cool. I wanted to ask, what are some of everybody's favorite Y Games events?
I was going to ask that same question because it's off-brand. It's off-brand X Games, correct? Mm-hmm.
Super, like deadly X Games.
My favorite is undoubtedly the real-sized Hot Wheels courses.
Mm.
You know, the things like where they put the cars through the loop-de-loops.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
See, I tend to like the cornucopia event, but then everyone just kind of spreads out and it takes a few days and they all kind of die off before they bring... Oh, wait, wrong games.
Close enough.
Is that the one where they all have the collars on their necks where it'll explode?
That's also the wrong games.
Okay, also wrong games.
Different
wrong
games. That's a whole island.
Okay,
I'm thinking
okay.
of an arena, but here, this is a mountain, you know, I mean, the cockfighting is kind of fun sometimes, but then you have the people who misunderstand the word cockfighting, and then it just gets awkward.
Oh, it's a kid show.
I got it. Ropeless rappelling.
Is it?
Fair. Actually, that brought up something else that I wanted to talk, because we talked about it on an earlier episode of the show. But my favorite is the freeform volcano diving. Now,
that's a good point.
Right before they go on this journey, we get a joke about Neris's DM not being able to come into contact with minors, but I don't know what, et cetera, et cetera.
With the coal industry. Yeah.
Now, we talked previously when we talked about
There was such a good line before it.
How does this compare to the situation in Branded? Because we talked about just how much of a turnoff that was. Whereas this, they presented it in a different way.
I think part of what makes this joke work is that we know nothing bad happened to Neris as a result. Mm. and that she remains blissfully unaware of it. Like, the entire situation goes completely over her head. She's not harmed, and she is in no way psychologically scarred by this situation.
As far as we know.
As far as we know. In the other situation, it came from the point of view of the criminal.
Mm-hmm.
We knew he did something wrong. Like, there was clearly a line. It's a little bit of different framing.
Mm-hmm.
We know he did something wrong because he got convicted. And that inherently implies something else. This other guy might have just been planning on doing something and never got the chance to hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. In my opinion, that's what changes it, is that, again, Neris, and as far as we know, nobody else got hurt.
Okay.
There was also all of that, definitely. I'd say on top of that, there's also the execution of the joke, because here it's this quick throwaway, the kid doesn't understand it, it's funny, we move on.
We don't linger on it.
Yeah. Whereas for Brandon, it was like, this clip is about 90 seconds long, and over a third of it is focused on how this guy isn't allowed to go near Plague. And it really lets you sit there and stew in how horrifyingly uncomfortable and illegal and just...
And feel super gross.
Situation is. Whereas this one was really good for a wait, what moment, and then we move on.
Please Clap mentions in chat that all of the pilots from Pilot Month got picked up.
I
would send us a link. I would like to read that.
Oh, yes, Murder Room is going to be so fun.
Becca Lai says, or it was actually something about the coal industry, which is true.
Yeah.
So
Malachroma is making fun of us for our reaction.
we've got the campers all sort of showing up at the Y Games arena, and we've got Neris finally being, Arid finally being like, I'm going to show myself, finally, and it's going to be a great thing. But Neris shows her the error of her ways. You never had to prove to us that you were cool and you didn't care what anybody thought. That's the cool thing. And don't freak out. But this was a moment where my head went, is this shipping? Is this what shipping is? And then I was like, they could also be good friends. But mm-hmm.
they can go either way.
But I'm going to put a pin in that until we talk about episode 4.
It is however you would prefer to read it.
Yeah.
Again,
and that's the joy of shipping.
These are all kids.
exactly.
These are all kids. So what I like is thinking like, one day when they're older, that'll be real cute.
They're gonna find each other again. And it's gonna be like, hey, let's go to Ruby Tuesday.
It'll be puppy love where they become ridiculous pen pals and exchange older, emails.
Yeah. Was that older Neris?
No, that's not.
Okay.
Sure, Arid sends emails that's about like all the cool like skate tricks and jumps she's been doing, and Neris writes back with what's happening in her campaign right now.
I actually would love to see a scene later on in the season where Arid is sitting down for a game with Neris and like asking, so like, what can I do? Awesome. I'm gonna be like this cool wizard or
giving
something
it a shot.
Like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like I feel like she would roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I spent a good hour this afternoon sitting down with a coworker who'd never played D&D before, helping her make a character for our next session. So yeah, no, it's a lot of fun.
Using D&D Beyond?
No.
Oh, that's a shame. Anyway. Sorry, I have to do it. I'm contractually obligated.
I know. I was given my player's handbook as a gift, and I have a budget, but I am asking her to go support local businesses when she goes to get hers.
So speaking of shipping, this is an interesting thing that I pointed out in terms of just how or friend shipping, or however you want to refer to it as. The end of this episode was Max totally giving Neil shit about the way he looks, and he's like, you know what, no confidence, I'm feeling this outfit, I'm feeling everything, and then Nikki goes no, and then that's when he feels full 100% shame. What is it about Nikki denying him his cool versus Max?
Well, Max,
I think it's them ganging up on him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Max also, as we see throughout the course of this episode, he blatantly deceived everybody for his own amusement. Max will say anything to your face if he thinks it's going to be funny, mm-hmm. if he thinks your reaction is going to be funny. So regardless of whether or not he thinks Max is telling him the truth in this assessment, he's like, I'm not going to give him the satisfaction after he completely fooled everybody. Mm-hmm. Nikki, on the other hand, he knows that Nikki's not duplicitous. she wears her heart on her sleeve.
This is the same person who's like, that was super gay. Well, fine, whatever.
And again, I think it hurts a little bit more coming from Nikki because she usually sees the bright side in just about everything.
And she's very, very genuine. So she's like, no.
Can I have somebody look up iTunes while I do the spiel?
Sure.
Do
cool.
It.
Speaking of iTunes, how about that transition? One of the ways that you can help us out with our viewership, our retention, all of this sort of stuff, is you go on over to iTunes, you leave us a review, and you rate us 5 stars because, you know, the other stars don't work. But it helps us get seen as there are an increasing amount of Rooster Teeth sites podcasts. We've been around for a minute or two, and we've had a lot of good folks coming on the show and guests. Well, yeah, it's been a minute. And we are going to keep being a show that sort of gets you that one extra piece of information. We may or may not have a guest coming on the next time we talk about Camp, which we'll talk about more at the end of the show. But, what? No, nothing? All right. Nothing. But, if you leave us a comment on iTunes, we will read it out loud, and, it really helps us sort of build the show. But before we let you go, here at the network, we produce after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. Anything you could ever want, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, professional wrestling. Hi, speaking from experience. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans. That's us. But now we need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. It is not just AfterBuzz TV Animation. There are several across the landscape. Besides helping us a ton, here's what's in it for you. It caters specific content you already like directly to you. It brings you your favorite after shows so you don't have to seek them out, and it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that might interest you. Subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows we're sure you'll love. And since you're already tuned into AfterBuzz TV Animation, you've got 3 of the 5 Lions of Voltron here. We just came back for season 6 of Voltron, so please make sure to tune into our after shows every Monday. We just did a fresh one on Monday.
We did.
And
it was so fun.
And we're going to be tossing end over end, and everybody won't be crying. At
we
any
have
given
plans
time.
For upcoming weeks. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Given Shiro's season 6, you being the Black Lion, that's very disturbing. Anyway. but we've also got an anime show that you can check out. Make sure to subscribe if you like animation. We're a whole bunch of animation fans just like you. And remember, we have channels in other genres too, so please don't be shy to subscribing about them either. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be. They're optional. If you do want to know right away when anything is happening, though, you can click that bell. Ding, ding, done. It is easy. Hit that subscribe button now for an even easier AfterBuzz experience. And if you let us know that you did in the comments, we'll shout you out on air. Thank you so much for being the best fans. We promise to continue to do our best to serve you, the viewer. Please subscribe here to AfterBuzz TV Animation so you can see all the cool stuff that we're doing. And if we do any new shows, you'll be the first to find out. Props, I don't need them. Let's move on. Let's move on to foreign exchange campers. I've watched this episode several times. I find it interesting. Does anybody think that they were supposed to show up? Or they were actually supposed to be there, or that David legitimately forgot?
I think that there were supposed to be foreign exchange campers there, but not the 3 that we got.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
4.
Four. My apologies.
And Brian.
And Kimchi.
But I mean, his was very much, oh, okay, paperwork error, American, which I'm sure that happens at Camp Campbell all the time.
Poor Chucky.
But for everyone else, like, I wouldn't be surprised if we were initially supposed to have foreign exchange campers from countries we're allied with, and then we wind up with everyone else.
I love them.
Oh, yeah.
Can we keep them?
So we got Vera from Russia, Dang from Thailand, Juan from the Republic of North Korea, and Kimchi. I'm sorry, Brian from Kentucky. Who's your favorite out of the four?
I like Vera a lot, knowing that that Kimchi is voiced by King Atlas.
Yeah, someone.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The second he started talking, I was like, he's going to be important.
I chat's talking about Space Kid and just Malachroma, Space Kid said the fuck word.
Yep. Like, we'll get there. No, we'll get there.
This makes me love Vera more than anyone else because that scene just beautiful. Just chef kiss.
Vera, Salt Bay. Vera was my favorite as well, but she was kind of the leader. She had the most dialogue. Oh. And I forget the actress's name, unfortunately, but she this voice actress also does Ash Ketchum. It's really
Veronica
interesting.
Taylor.
Not Veronica
Not
Taylor.
Veronica
the
Taylor.
New
Veronica.
New Ash.
Oh.
Either way, it's amazing to see like those crossing the streams. But I'm
is it crossing some wires?
Malachroma just popped it in chat too. It's weird.
She wants to be the very best.
Pikachu, I choose you. Use Shank.
Maybe I break you.
She says so casually.
Perfect.
I loved all of her dialogue. Now they say that they mixed up Brian's paperwork as well. Do you think that as we learn, he ends up robbing the $$$ vault? Do you think that he was actually against Cameron Campbell? Or that it was a crazy happenstance that he was able to do it? Because he never says anything about Cameron Campbell. He just says about bringing Kentucky to the glory that it should be at.
I think this was... I don't think he had anything to do with the larger conspiracy. Mm-hmm. I think this was very opportunistic. Like, oh, Cameron Campbell is in jail. Let's go dig through his assets and see if we can find anything. So we have these three campers who have something very, very planned. And we have Brian who's like, I'm going to show up. I'm going to act like a normal American kid. And if I happen across something, great.
It was either a crime of opportunity when he saw that chaos had erupted, or it was something where he had independently planned on doing this all along. Mm-hmm. Unbeknownst to the other three spies, unbeknownst to the other three operatives who were not involved with his own storyline.
So let's talk about the cosmonaut in the room. we got an amazing Space Kid moment. This is 3 for 3, in my opinion, of Space Kid stealing the episode. And I will also say 4 for 4, but in reference to these episodes, 3 for 3. You're supposed to be American cosmonaut. How does it feel to have failing space program? What the fuck did you say to me? And just stay. Who was shocked?
Completely.
Like, oh my God.
God bless Lindsay. That delivery.
That was perfect. And I think a part of the reason is also because she voices Ruby Rose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's voicing these characters that are very, very cute and very wholesome.
Pure.
At least on the surface, yeah. And so just to hear Space Kid pull out the fuck word is so jarring and hilarious. And as you said, her delivery was just pitch perfect.
Oh my God, it was great.
Lazy Man's Loaded Chat says, Pikachu, we all choose you. It is the people's best friend for all to share. Dumb Gamer raising their hand. Tim Houlihan raising their hand. And a lot of people assuring, like, don't worry, we have Space Force now. We don't have time to talk about.
Oh my God. Although I would love to see an episode of Space Kid trying to put together a Space Force.
Yes.
That would be fun. Real life Space Force makes my soul cry.
It could be after, you know, it's one of those things of he's been to space, quote unquote, what now? You create Space Force.
Yeah.
oh God. And so here's something else that I want to talk about. So we get into this why is my
scavenger
brain
playing?
Scavenger hunt. Damn it, David. We get into the scavenger hunt. Groups of four. Max goes with the foreign kids.
Trees that make you happy.
God, son of a bitch,
David. I just want to point out that mine would have been actual clues and real things that would not have been cop-outs like that.
Yeah, like a $10,000 cop-out.
But David's had a physical prize.
That's fair. Ice cream as opposed to thievery.
Now,
yeah.
So, Max is kind of a shitty kid. We've come to know that,
but
we know as to why, and we saw in episode one that he's willing to help the camp and buy into the bullshit that is Camp Campbell. So despite all of that and how shitty he was just so about the ice cream, and it was such an intense motivator, but he was interested in finishing the activity. He was despite all that, he was like, oh, that sucks. He didn't crumble it up and throw it away. He was like, all right, we have to find this tree. We're seeing a change in Max.
Well, there was something tangible for him to gain.
Oh, yeah.
Expired ice cream.
Ice cream nonetheless, and they start the episode complaining about how ridiculously hot it is.
That's a fair point.
So, yeah, there's something to be gained. It's not like a lot of the other things at Camp Campbell where it's about learning about teamwork and togetherness and all that.
Knowing Max, Max is a schemer. Why not just, hey, cool kids, let's go and steal the ice cream before anybody has a chance. While everybody's out on this dumb scavenger hunt, let's just go steal the ice cream and eat it. That sounds like OG Max to me. But, all right, I'll do what David asks, what David wants us to do, and even complimenting the cool kids on how good they are at the activities. There's a change happening.
I think you hit the nail on the head by saying he's a shitty kid. What he wants to do, since he ditched his friends, who I feel like if there was nothing on the line, he would have just gone along with them just to see, you know, just to see how everything shook out, just for the sake of something to do.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that there's something on the line and ditching them, you've got to win fair and square in order to properly rub it in their faces.
Yeah.
Mm, all right.
Yeah.
Still.
In order to prove your superiority.
But I'll play your ridiculous games, but the ice cream will be mine!
He ends up getting taken hostage. oh, boy. And what did we think of Kimchi and the gang? Single dropping this Tuesday. Keeping an eye on Max and just how sort of overwrought with the absolute gall and monocles dropping into the tea that Nikki and Neil saw of Max joining this other team. Like, what?
I have two thoughts that I want to bring up. One, of course, is Nikki looking through the binoculars and being heartbroken because she's like, talking about shipping moments, she's like, well, at least he's found someone who can make him smile. And that thought brings her to tears that it wasn't her.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, aww. And that's all I have to say about that one.
That was both things? Okay, all right.
No. The other thing I have to say is actually looking at Nerf. Because he has selective hearing in this episode, but what we're seeing is very similar to the version of him that we saw in the episode where they were all taking care of the egg.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of empathy to give. And we see that in this episode. He's being extremely empathetic to somebody who he's assuming has a language barrier and somebody who he's assuming would be in need of assistance. He's just not listening to all of the aspects where Brian clearly does not need his help. So it's interesting to see Nerf being like, I'm here to help you and make things easier for you and to help with this transition. I know you're probably overwhelmed. Guys, you need to cool it, because he's projecting, just like he was projecting with the egg. So it's very interesting to see this paternal instinct in him completely placed in the wrong, like, directed in the wrong places.
Wow, my brain just stopped.
Welcome.
I need some ice cream.
Welcome.
God damn it.
Three for those of you keeping track at home.
Oh my God. Wow, it's been a day. I actually saw that more as those Americans who meet someone that they think is from a foreign country or that they think doesn't speak the language as well, and they talk like this.
Yeah.
Because this aids comprehension. They understand, and it's the worst thing ever. And I definitely saw this as parodying that.
It reminds me of a joke in King of the Hill when the family from Laos moves in, Dale asks, "Are you Chinese or Japanese?
Are you Japanese or Chinese?
I'm Laotian. Are you Chinese or Chinese?"
That's one of my favorite jokes from the entire series. I totally get where you're coming from on that, because it is very, like, people who do that think they're being helpful and they think they're being empathetic, when in fact that all they're doing is being very condescending based on their own internalized stereotypes. So I get where you're coming from that, but since we've seen this in him before, I see it as him being misguided and trying to help, even though his help is not needed in any way, shape, or form.
Could be both.
Cam Griffin's favorite joke is pocket sand, which is also great. So they stumble across Campbell's hidden attic, which has a lot, was it Bill of Rights or Constitution 2?
Declaration of Independence 2,
Electric Boogaloo. And just a whole lot of garbo. Just a whole lot of crazy stuff. I assume Nazi art, I assume.
Do you guys think that there was a treasure map on the back of the Declaration of Independence 2?
Probably. It's on Spooky Island.
God.
But ultimately, and QM doesn't do crap at this point, by the way. But ultimately, we have a tussle, we have a fight for the plans in the safe, and that's when we get Brian's true, like the smell of kimchi itself, terrifying by identification. That was a very strange sentence. But we got...
looks like cabbage. It's actually murder.
It's actually gross. But we get Brian revealing that he's there to bring Kentucky to secede from the Union. It was a wonderful swerve and a wonderful message. Like, it wasn't as like hammering you on the nose as the Christmas episode was, but the, hey, maybe we have terrible people in our country instead of people from other places.
Yeah.
I still felt that was pretty anvilicious, but yeah.
It was a good moral.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it was definitely very blatant, but at the same time, there was a second where they allowed it to breathe before the credits started. It was one of those things where it was just like, hey, this is a matter of fact. This is what we're dealing with right now.
Also, vaccinate your fucking kids.
The thing about the Christmas episode is that it basically called anybody who didn't believe in climate change or vaccinated their kids morons, which
I'm
true story. This one, they let the statement speak for itself.
Mm-hmm. Definitely agree. All right, so we're three episodes in. Or any other thoughts about this episode before we just sort of go to a couple of discussion topics?
This season has just been on fire.
Yeah,
I love it.
I have not seen the next episode yet.
Neither have I.
So I want to say is that I hope we get to keep them. I hope we get to keep them. I hope they stay and that they learn how to be friends with everyone.
I will say that it's not the focus of the episode.
Okay.
That's it. But episode 4 is really flipping good. It's so good.
With a title like that. Oh, my goodness.
Nikki's last day on Earth.
We're sending her to space.
So while we're talking about next week really quickly, I just wanted to mention I have connected with one of the staff writers of this season, Lee LaHave, who was one of the writers of episode 4. And she wants to call in and talk about episode 4 the next time we do the show. Now, 2 weeks from now is the 4th of July. we're going to figure out another date to shoot that week so it doesn't throw off our red versus blue camp dance that we do.
And also because I'm going to be at Anime Expo. And also
because you're going to be at Anime Expo. So we're going to figure out a day to do it, but Lee is going to be joining us. We're just going to be talking about her episode, and then she's already expressed interest in coming on and doing talking a lot more. So make sure you follow her and Oren. I tweeted them out on Friday about how flippin' great the episode was. So make sure prep some questions about those episodes. Don't tweet them yet because it's still not a public episode. Wait until it goes public. But before we go, a couple of things. One, is Space Kid the best? Yes or yes?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
All right. The second question. So we're three episodes in. One of the predictions that I had last week was that Cam Campbell was going to be involved somehow. It's three episodes, and one way or another, it's been about Cam. Do we see that continuing or tapering off?
I don't see it continuing through. I don't see it being the focus of every single episode, but I can see it being a through line.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If he doesn't come back for revenge by the end of this season, I will be very surprised.
Same. Everybody is agreeing with Space Kid being the best. One dumb gamer saying Vera would love the Wood Scouts, turn them into mini KGBs.
I worry, but yes.
Pikeman needs a wake-up call from a female camper.
I would love...
Oh, my God. Oh,
she would destroy him.
Yes. And I watch that TV program.
I think he'd be okay with that.
She would whip Jeremy into so much good shape.
She absolutely
would. And even not, we'd totally understand.
Is it wrong that I also would love to see Vera interact with the Flower Scouts?
Not at all.
I think that just makes for a magical dynamic.
And apparently on a recent stream, Miles revealed that something crazy with the Flower Scouts is going to happen this season.
Well, last season they became like the heads.
Drug lords.
Yeah.
Las Diablitas.
Las Diablitas. Las Diablitas. So I can't wait to see if they're going to try to top that, because that's pretty freaking fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So before we go, it's camp activity time. Based on these two episodes, I came up with something that I think would work. Let us know what known or unknown item of Cameron Campbell's would you steal and why? And secondly, for those of you who like to craft, who like to draw, who like to cosplay, or who have old photos, what is the coolest version of your camper or you? We want to see it. Let us know using the hashtag ABTVCampCamp. It can be a legitimate claim of being cool or a joke. But let us know using ABTVCampCamp or RT Reviews. We want to see those next week. Any last thoughts about these episodes before we get going?
No. No, I'm good.
I just thought that these were both spectacular. Yes, and I hope to see more of the dynamic of Neris and Arid.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
We had one tiny bit of news that you don't have to hit this. Two?
Two.
Go. One, we got that Genlock is dropping in January of 2019.
Yep.
AfterBuzz TV News.
And you can already drop it. What was the other one?
All of the pilots for Pilot Month have been picked up.
Yes.
We mentioned that earlier.
Okay.
I have the thing, and it says how many episodes and what they're doing and all that fun stuff, but I guess we don't have time for that. But
no,
yes.
We don't, because we're already out of time. thank you, everybody, for watching this episode of Rooster Teeth Reviews. Remember, next week is a Red versus Blue week, and then we'll be back to camp at some time during 4th of July week, and we're going to have Leela Hav on, and it's going to be a damn good time, because she's a wonderful person, and she's just overwhelmed by all of the love that she's been getting, which is rightfully deserved. But make sure to leave comments down below if you're watching this after the fact. Make sure to subscribe. Follow us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at ABTV Rooster Team. We have a new design on our store, the tpublic.com/TheRoosterTeam. It's I Survived the Y Games. It's really stupid. But
I love it.
It's on sale. Everything that we have on our store is on sale this weekend, thanks to TeePublic. Shirts are $14. You can get sketchbooks, pillows, like our wonderful viewer Caitlin has. Please
help. Stickers, tote bags,
all sorts of stuff. Support us, please. It helps us put more time aside for Welcome to Vail and any other projects that we want to work on, which we are working on. Katie, anything else you want to mention? What's on Twitter and what you're working on? There we go. All right, we got it.
Hi, my buddies. I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on Twitch and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you want the reactions to these episodes, they live on that YouTube. Voltron is back. It is Mondays at 7 p.m. on this same channel, so tune in for that. It's going to be super, super fun. I will be at Anime Expo 4th of July weekend, so come hang out, say hi. Gonna be awesome.
I'm Megan Salinas. You can find me fleeing with all your money, but also on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I also do a podcast called No Love Lost, which is a Lost retrospective from the perspective of somebody who hates it and somebody who loves it. And also be sure to check out the latest podcast of the Red Room Horror News, where Lucretia Lyon and I talk about Hereditary.
And we'll leave it at that.
Yep.
You can also follow Stacey Shuttleworth at Stacey Shuttles. She's currently on gallivanting around Scotland and the UK. Leave her a message. Let her know that we miss her here at Camp Campbell. I'm Mark Bidonica. You can follow me on Twitter at Mark Bidonica, on Twitch at InventoryFullPT. We took this past week off because, E3 was crazy. And I'm trying to remember if I left anything out. I don't think that I did. So, for anything else for us, follow us here. We have a panel at RTX that we're figuring out what we're doing, and we can announce that officially because they announced it officially, and that kind of right now are the only plans that we have. But if you want anything specifically from us, and I'll stay here, if you want anything specifically for us at RTX, follow us on Twitter at ABTV Rooster Team and tweet at us. We love you. We thank you. Thanks to the fine folks at AfterBuzz TV. You can follow them on Twitter as well. We'll see you next time in Camp AD.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Maybe a breakthrough.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.